Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. I want to talk about the reality of the resurrection of Jesus. We can look at the reality of his resurrection. And first of all, we have to define various things, don't we? For a start, what is reality? Well, reality is the state of things as they are, rather than as they are imagined to be. In other words, the facts of the matter. There is a saying, "This is my truth, tell me yours." In 1998, the Welsh rock band Manic Street Preachers released an album titled, "This is my truth, tell me yours." This expression was attributed to Labour politicians Ewan Bevin and John Strachey. In 1933, John Strachey attributed the expression to Nietzsche, who was a German philosopher who attributed it to a fictional prophet of his own making. So the words may be different each time. The idea seems to be that there's no actual truth, that truth is something purely subjective and personal, little more than a matter of an individual insisting that what they would like to be true is true, simply because they wish it so. Well, we're going to go for a couple of definitions from the Cambridge Dictionary. First of all, objective, based on real facts, not influenced by personal beliefs or feelings. Then subjective, influenced by or based on personal beliefs or feelings, rather than based on facts. Truth is objective. To say anything else is to redefine what truth means. Pilate seemed to struggle with this when he said to Jesus, "What is truth?" So we're going to look at the truth based on facts. For that we need witnesses. The four Gospels have the witnesses from people who were with Jesus. Matthew was called to be a disciple of Jesus, which is why he wrote an account. Mark wasn't a disciple during the time of Jesus' ministry. Yet he is the first to write a Gospel. Some think that there were some writings of what Jesus had to say, and Mark was the first to put them together. Others think that Peter may have been the source, and so this was Peter's account of Jesus' life and ministry. Now, Luke was a latecomer, but he researched very carefully all the witnesses of Jesus' life, death and resurrection. Then we have John, who wrote his gospel last of all. He was the one that so often sat close to Jesus, but didn't like to mention himself by name. The accounts of Jesus' resurrection can be found in Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, and John 20. And some of this we've heard already. You can read from each account and get a different viewpoint, but the facts are that Jesus rose from the dead and that there were witnesses. In Matthew 28, we get the angel of the Lord crashing into the place where the soldiers were guarding the tomb of Jesus. There is an earthquake, and the shock of his arrival is so great that the soldiers pass out. So as they come round, I guess, they would have run away. This angel then rolls away the stone. There's no mention of Jesus being let out. Jesus has already left in the same way as he appeared in the upper room among the disciples later on. This same angel also talks to the two women that come to the tomb. They're told not to be afraid, but to see where Jesus had been laid and to note that he wasn't there but had risen from the dead. In Mark 16, we find that the two Marys and Salome had brought spices to anoint the body of Jesus, as was the custom of the time. Note that they have appeared not to have understood that Jesus would rise from the dead. Inside the tomb, they see someone that looked like a young man dressed in white, who invited them to see where the body had been laid. This person or angel also told them that Jesus was risen from the dead. The two women are told to tell the disciples that Jesus was going ahead of them to Galilee. In other words, they were to meet Jesus there. In Luke 24, we see that two men in white appear to the women after they have looked for the body in the tomb. They ask, why are they looking for someone who is alive among the dead? The two angels also remind them that Jesus said that he would rise from the dead. So the two women rush back to tell the disciples. In John 20, we find that John has been a bit more selective about what he relates in his account of the resurrection. We see that Mary Magdalene has been to the tomb and found it empty, and so runs back and tells Peter and the other disciple. This mysterious other disciple is thought to be none other than the writer himself. And though he outruns Peter to the tomb, he stops at the entrance and looks in. Peter comes and goes straight in, and then the other disciple also goes in, sees the linen cloth lying there. At this point, the other disciple believes that Jesus was risen. Well, Mary Magdalene returns to the tomb and is distraught. She sees the two angels there in the tomb, and perhaps they told her that Jesus had risen. But she has no joy, and perhaps she can't hear them because of her sorrow. She sees someone that she thought was the gardener and says to him that if he had the body of Jesus, to let her know where it is, and she would take it away. Of course, it is Jesus standing there, and he responds with one word, Mary. Does she have doubts about what she is hearing and seeing? No, she recognizes him and calls him teacher. Full of joy, she clings to him and doesn't want to let him go. Jesus gives her something to do and tells her to go and give a message to the disciples. Later that evening, Jesus appears to the disciples. They were in a locked room because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Perhaps they are there to think about what to do next. Perhaps by now they had heard the reports that Jesus had risen from the dead. Some may have thought that the witnesses had a vision. Then suddenly Jesus appears amongst them. He didn't break down the doors. He didn't climb through a window. He just appeared. And because of the way Jesus appeared, you could understand how that some might think that this was his ghost or spirit. I just want to refer to something that you only get in Luke's account that John doesn't mention. We are told that they look at Jesus in disbelief but are filled with joy and wonder. Then Jesus does the most natural and human thing. He asks them if they have anything to eat. They give him some fish and he eats it in front of them. They were in the presence of a real and living human Lord Jesus. You can see that there are differences between the narratives, but the truth that comes out of all of this, that Jesus rose from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation of the Christian faith. Without the resurrection, the belief in God's saving grace through Jesus would be destroyed. When Jesus rose from the dead, he confirmed his identity as the Son of God and confirmed his work of atonement, that is, his death on the cross as a sin substitute, receiving the punishment that we deserved, and by that we have redemption, reconciliation, salvation. The resurrection was a real, literal, physical raising of Jesus' body from the dead. Later in the Acts of the Apostles book, one of the witnesses, Peter the Apostle, had this to say to a Roman called Cornelius. We're going to have a reading now from Acts chapter 10, verses 37 to 43. And Julie's going to read it. Thank you.
Acts 10, verses 37 to 43. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Thank you. Peter here is giving a great summary of Jesus' life, his death and resurrection. How that Jesus appeared to so many people as a proof of his resurrection. That Jesus was the one that all the prophets spoke about. That God has made him to be the judge of the living and the dead. Then Peter says this, everyone who believes in Jesus will have their sins forgiven through his name. And that is what we have to do, to simply trust Jesus to save us from our sins. And if we have trusted in Jesus, what should our attitude be? Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4 says this, since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honour at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. We have a new life now if we belong to Jesus. It isn't complete yet, but when Jesus comes again, we will be like him and perfect in every way. So we should focus on the realities of eternity and not see our current life as being the only thing. Our attitude should be like Jesus, as it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Because of the joy that was set before Jesus, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We are told that there is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. When we turn to God in simple faith and ask him to save us, we are born again, a new creation. So the joy that Jesus was looking forward to is that all those who turn to him who are saved through the work of the cross, that is us, if we know Jesus as our Saviour. Again, why is the resurrection so important? Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Note that it said, believe in your heart. In other words, really believe it as a fact, and that it impacts your life. Remember Mary Magdalene's joy as she discovered the living Lord Jesus? That can be the experience for anyone who turns to Jesus and accepts the risen Saviour. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, the Apostle speaks of his experience on the mountain when he saw the Lord Jesus transfigured, and he wrote this. Because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. You must pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and Christ the morning star rises and shines in your hearts. When Jesus comes again, all those that trusted in him will be filled with great joy, but for now we trust Jesus to lead us, to save us. May God bless you, all of you. May you all know the reality of Jesus' resurrection and to have eternal life. Thank you.